From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
You are the Forum for the Fans of Bleed Blue Show, NBA Finals Talk, Toronto Raptors, Golden State Warriors, BleedBlueShow.com. Audio archive episodes can be found on iTunes, Podcast Republic TuneIn, Stitcher apps, as well as BleedBlueShow.com. Stream or download all audio content right from your smartphone devices and tablets and PCs, so on and so forth. So we got the NBA Finals. NBA Finals start Thursday, 9 p.m. It's funny because I didn't realize Toronto had the better record. Obviously, they had the better they had the home court, but I didn't realize. I assumed when Toronto clinched over the Milwaukee Bucks, I assumed Golden State had home court, but I didn't realize Toronto had one more win than the Golden State Warriors. So this is the first time in the Golden State Warriors era they're going to be on the road, which is it wouldn't be the biggest of deal. But I thought that was kind of interesting to say the least because I assumed Golden State was the home team. So we're going to get those thoughts and get everybody else's comments from the pages and all that and so forth. I see Golden State winning this thing. I see. I don't think this is a cakewalk as it could be, and I think this is a series where people are kind of sleeping on Toronto, and I don't think Toronto is a bad team, and I think this is they've shown, and especially the Philadelphia series, the toughness going in the seventh game, and also the way they dominated. The last game versus the Milwaukee Bucks. Yeah, it really took them out their game. But I'm actually looking forward to this final, man. We were tired of seeing Golden State versus Cleveland for three straight years. It was time to see some new blood. Not exactly sure who's going to suit up for the Golden State Warriors, i.e. Kevin Durant. But this should be fun. I'm actually looking forward to that. Let's just, it's quite a half hour to get these thoughts off. I think this is Chandler. Chandler, if this is you, let me know. If not, by all means, who's this?
Yeah, it's me. What's up, man?
What's going on, man? How you doing, man?
All right. You changed the time on me. I kept calling in at 8 o'clock and the show was over.
Oh, no. The NBA final for the rest of the final will be at 7 o'clock. So, because, we got to see these games, man. We can't be carrying over and game tip off, man. Got to get time to kick the food and chill and relax. And then, the NHL, too, same thing. You don't want to overlap with that. Yo, so let's get your perspective, man. How you look at these finals, man, Golden State versus Toronto? Let's go through all the matches, man. Let's have some fun real quick.
I don't think this is going to be the walkover everybody's talking about. I like Toronto's bench players better than I like Golden State's. I'll take Ibaka and Gasol over Kevin Looney and Damon Jones. The kid, what's the name, Quentin Cook. I'll take Van Vliet over him as a shooter. I'll take Norman Powell over Jerebko, who really only shows up at home and even then doesn't show up all the time. Now, the starters, obviously, whoever you put Kawhi on, that's a wash, but the other one can still drop 60 on you. So they have the advantage with the starters, but I don't see them having an advantage with the bench. I don't see them having an advantage defensively. I'm sick of this narrative about Draymond Green being some great defender, one, because he's not, and two, last I checked, Sidney Moncrief did play in the NBA. So this nonsense about him being some great defender is just that nonsense. But I don't, I think Golden State wins in six, but I think it's a really close six games, and I think people are going to be shocked at how close these games are.
I agree. I totally agree. I had to go back and look. I remember the one game in Toronto in the regular season, and I think Toronto won that game. I think they
won both of them.
I don't remember the game in Oracle, but I know they won, but I don't remember the gameplay. But I did look it up and they won. But I remember the game in Toronto because I remember watching it one night. I think the Knicks, it was either the same night as the Knicks or the night before, and I happened, I knew I watched it around the NBA. I agree with you, man. I don't think this is the cakewalk a lot of people may think, because maybe everybody's so used to Golden State winning. And you never know, like, one bad injury on either team could really shift the whole series. And, you know, that could happen at any time. Let me ask you this. I think you already know. Norman Powell, to me, changed the whole complexion of the series versus Milwaukee. Once he came off the bench in game two, after they lost to Milwaukee and they were down 2-0, to your point, as far as the Toronto bench, that changed a lot of what they did to Milwaukee. His athleticism and getting to the paint, his ability to shoot. And then when Van Vliet came into the game in game five and could not miss because they were struggling with the perimeter shooting, particularly from Lowry, I don't think Van Vliet can do, you know, he was shooting at least 80%. I think it definitely comes down. But to your point, man, the bench guys, especially Powell and Van Vliet, man, if they could do what they did against Milwaukee, I definitely give them a greater chance to not only compete or maybe to even win the series. I still have Golden State in six like you do. But this isn't okay, Quar, and I agree with you as far as the bench. What other matches do you see?
Well, I'm interested to see what they do. I'm going to see what Golden State does defensively on Gasol, because Kevin Looney doesn't do well, you know, on the perimeters as a defender. I know everyone likes to say he does, but he's really not a good perimeter defender. He can step out, but, you know, Marc Gasol is going to kill you from three-point range. And the other thing is Marc Gasol also does have a post game. He's got great feet still. So what are they going to do defensively with Gasol? I mean, if you go small, then you're putting Draymond Green on Gasol. And listen, I don't care what you say about Draymond Green. I'll take Marc Gasol in that matchup. If it comes down to Draymond or Marc Gasol, I'm going to take Marc Gasol scoring in that matchup. Now, on the other side, yes, he's going to get punished. But what are you going to do defensively against him? And then the other part is okay, who does Kawhi play? Does it depend on who's hot? Do they give him one guy to take away and say, make the rest of them beat us? That, to me, is interesting. And then what Nick Nurse does, because let's be honest, Philly was a more physically talented team, but they got exposed here. They had no experience. Milwaukee, I would argue, had more talent than Toronto, but they also got exposed because of lack of playoff experience. What does Nick Nurse do when Golden State makes the adjustments? Is he going to be able to adjust? That's, I think, is going to be key. Not is going to see what he does to adjust to Golden State's adjustments.
All right. I can see what you're saying with that. As far as coming off the bench, let's say no Durant, no Cousins, I'm assuming them out for at least game one, maybe game two Sunday. So if we're talking about adjustment, I can see Golden State, you know, Kerr and their staff making different changes as far as Iguodala. Like, to me, he's like the X factor. You know, that's the guy who can make wide open shot. You could throw him on a Kawhi Leonard and slow him down or neutralize him. He probably won't stop him, but it's kind of like he's like that X factor that you don't have to have Klay Thompson on Kawhi Leonard and accumulate fouls, personal fouls.
Right.
So they have that luxury, and I think that is everything. Because even if Draymond was getting the foul trouble, because if you throw him at the four, let's say they go with a lineup with Curry, Thompson, Iguodala, Green, at any point in the game, doesn't have to be the starters. Green at the four, he's going to accumulate fouls, either on Siakam, because Siakam's a slasher, he's long, you can jump over Green, or like to your point, Gasol as far as fouls. So when they make that adjustment, how does Nick Nurse adjust to Iguodala being like almost like a third option? Like, who do they go to if they lock, you know, not lock, but throw him on Kawhi Leonard? It's going to come down to me, like, yo, Kawhi Leonard's got to make shots. I'm not Kawhi Leonard. Kyle Lowry is going to have to make shots. So if he doesn't, because he showed a little bit of flashes, and you've been on him all playoffs, he's disappeared these playoffs. But he did make a couple of shots in several possessions in the second half in the Milwaukee game. I don't think, you know, I don't know if he's got it in him this series. I don't see it. Do you see that as the adjustment outside of Kawhi Leonard, Siakam, is Kyle Lowry, or do you think it's going to be more so Gasol Norman Powell, Van Vliet, those guys.
That's the thing is I don't trust Kyle Lowry. I've never trusted Kyle Lowry because we've seen Kyle Lowry in big moments, I mean, literally disappear. You know what I'm saying? Like you look on the court and there's just a uniform. He's not even in it. So what is he going to do? Because I don't think they can make up for him not showing up, not against Golden State. You know, they were able to cover for him not showing up against Milwaukee and other things, but they can't cover up him not being there because he can't do 10 points, 6 assists. No, he needs to be giving up 20 points a night. He needs to be giving him 20 points a night. If he's not giving him 20 points a night, it's going to get ugly fast. So, yeah, Kyle Lowry's got to show up, and honestly, I don't know if he will.
What about Danny Green, a guy who really disappeared? I mean, you're talking about adjustments when he could not find a shot. You know, we are so used to him making jumpers at North Carolina, all those years with the Spurs, you know, the finals. He had the three-point record when he was shooting lights out versus the Heat. He's really been non-existent. Now, do we see Danny Green in the series?
You know, that's a good question because I've honestly forgotten about him because he's done so little. Yeah, what is he going to do? And, see, I don't know if he fits with what Toronto wants to do as far as how they're going to play defensively. He's not a good defender. And the thing is you ain't got to be a great defender, but you got to give effort. He doesn't really give effort defensively, you know, and it's not like they're running 17 screens just to get him a shot. So I don't know what they do. Maybe that's the adjustment Nick Nurse makes. Maybe he finds a way to get Danny Green off early. Because if you get him off early, then you can probably get something out of him. But, yeah, you know what? I totally forgotten about him because he's done so little. But Danny Green is going to be a huge X factor for them.
Right. Now, I think we both agree the starting backcourt is heavily favored for the Warriors. But the Warriors do have issues getting in foul trouble, in particular Steph Curry. He'll get, like, three fouls in the first half. He'll just like in the Houston series, he'll go without points and – he'll be limited to single digits in points. But to me, it's kind of like, what do Toronto do if Curry starts getting going? How do they adjust to him? Like, if they're going to throw Kyle – I think they're going to throw Kyle Lowry on him. And wherever he goes, they're going to throw a body on him and follow him wherever he goes, him and Van Vliet. So do they really go that route with – at certain points, especially in the fourth quarter – you're going to see Kawhi, especially if Curry's at the point, at the top or even like at the wing, at least 18 feet and beyond, Kawhi Leonard shadowing Steph Curry. Do you see any of that in the series to neutralize the Golden State Warriors, especially if Curry's starting to get going?
Well, I could see them throwing Siakam on Curry because the one thing we know about Curry is when you put a bigger player on him, it does affect him, especially a guy that can be bigger and physical with him. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me to see them throw in spurts Siakam on Curry just to give him a different look to make him hesitate because, yeah, he likes to jack up rainbow shots, but still a 30-footer, you know, over a 7-footer is still a 30-footer over a 7-footer. That's not, you know what I'm saying, I don't care who you are, that's not a high percentage shot. So it wouldn't surprise me at all to see if he gets going a little bit to see them throw Siakam on him. Because Siakam is quick enough to stay with him, you know, even on the perimeter. And that's something I think that could be a wrinkle that they use, although I don't think you can use it a lot. I think in Spurs, if you do it, it can confuse them.
So the domino effect, if you throw Siakam at times on Curry, then you still kind of – you don't lose anything with Klay Thompson. Well, Klay Thompson still will have Green on him or whoever guard. See, Klay could go off. Klay can go off on any of the two guards Toronto throws at them? Or do you see Kawhi on Klay?
I think if you throw Siakam on Curry, then you put Kawhi on Klay, and see, at that point, you got to have Ibaka in the game. Because now you got Ibaka there to clean up the rebounds. So, you know what I'm saying, you got a big lineup against a small lineup, but I'm old school. You give me a big lineup against a small lineup, I'll take that all day. Because that means I can beat you up, and that means that I can go down in the post and I'm going to get fouls, I'm going to the line, and we know Toronto can make foul shots. And they have guys who can hit, you know, 17, 18, 20 footers. Everybody on Toronto's not a 3-point shooter. They actually have mid-range games. And if you're jacking up threes and missing, and I'm constantly hitting twos, you know, I'll take that math.
The thing is, and I agree with you, I think this is the first time all playoffs for the Golden State Warriors, I think they're going to be out-rebounded. Portland was never a threat on their boards. Once Nurkic was out, it was really an open season for Golden State getting offensive rebounds. When Golden State played against Houston, outside of Clint Capella, there's really no threat of somebody on the rebounding tip to box out Draymond Green, Diego Dallas, you know, those cams that come off the rim, you know, they come off the rim and they kind of they squirt out about 5-6 feet. Those loose balls that Golden State were getting in rounds 2 and 3, and whoever they beat, who the hell they beat in the first round? I can't even remember.
Clippers.
It feels so long. Oh, yeah, especially them. To me, they never really faced a threat where they were with a big team like Toronto. Toronto's got the rebounders. They got Gasol. They got, Siakam, Kawhi Leonard. They got up to 4 or 5 guys at any given time, at least two guys on the floor that's going to be able to box out and not give up cheap rebounds like the other teams did against Golden State in the Western Conference. So I like the Toronto Raptors in that aspect. I will also, you know, maybe add as well the importance of Iguodala. Iguodala, if you throw him on Kawhi Leonard, I still say Kawhi Leonard still gets his 30 to 35. But there's a difference between 30 and 35 points versus, I don't know, whoever you throw from anybody from Milwaukee. I mean, Ben Simmons or Jimmy Butler is defending Kawhi Leonard versus Iguodala. He's going to make him work because, you know, Iguodala's a pro's pro. He's done this in the finals. So he's going to work. See, to Kawhi's benefit, he could get up a lot of energy for those 30 to 35 points, knowing that you have two days rest. So they're gonna ride on the shoulders of Kawhi Leonard, and I think he's still gonna get his points. But it's really like basically what we're saying is who is going to step up for Toronto. I really don't. It's kind of like almost by committee because Siakam's hit or miss offensively, but he kind of has other responsibilities, so they kind of give him a pass because if he doesn't score, at least you know he's going to be on Curry at one point or Klay Thompson shadowing him. So you say, okay, well, you're not scoring, but at least limit those guys. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right. You know, it's funny because when you were talking, I was thinking when you were talking about being out-rebounded, the only series Golden State got out-rebounded in was against the Clippers. And if you look at how the Clippers are constructed and if you look at how Toronto's constructed, I see a lot of similarities. Now, I see more talent on Toronto, but I see a better version of the Clippers. And the Clippers gave them fits. They gave them fits in that series. I mean, I don't think anybody ever thought the Clippers would win. I don't think anybody thought it was going 7 games either. So, I got a better version of the Clippers, and Golden State's going to get out-rebounded. And we know Golden State's going to throw a clunker in there where they shoot 3 for 30 from three. If they do that in this first game and they let Toronto steal this first game, listen, man, all bets might be off because I'm telling you, playing up in Toronto with the way that crowd is and the energy they're getting from the people outside and the energy they have inside, this is going to be a fun series.
It is. It really is. And it's different for the first time in NBA history. You're a veteran. It's got that United States versus Canada feel. Now, I don't know who you're, you know, personally rooting for. I mean, I know we're Knicks fans. At the end of the day, some people don't care. They just want to watch a good game. I'll be real. I want the team from the States to beat the team from Canada. Because my rationale is, since Toronto's been in the league, I don't want to see a team from outside this country that get a chip before the New York Knicks. And I on that level, and also I have a personal level, too, because I have friends in Toronto. And this has been going on for over a decade. I mean, these fans, I don't know. If you have, you know, if anybody has fans and different fan bases, we know Boston could be annoying. Philadelphia fans could be annoying. And we hear that all the time. But try, if you ever have friends in Toronto, like I do, and they even listen to this podcast because I know they've been waiting to hear from me. These fans, they've been clowning our Knicks, Jalen, clowning. And I would love on the world stage that they, you know, fell short. Good season, you know, you give them props and kudos and all that other stuff. But I do not want that team to beat this Golden State Warriors team because I will never hear the end of it as a Knicks fan. I know it's kind of hard for a lot of people to understand, but it really is kind of complex in layers when you peel it apart. I want the team from the
State. You know what? I guess I'm a closet rooter for Toronto, and because and that goes all the way back to when they first came in the league and all the crap. Listen, I'm an Isaiah Thomas fan, always have been. So all the crap he got for champion and putting that team there, the guys that played there and got crap and you know what I'm saying. And also, listen, Norman Powell, I know his cousin. You know, I like Marc Gasol. I've always liked Marc Gasol, and he's never gotten enough credit for his game. I'd love to see him win a championship because I don't think Marc Gasol is going to play too many more years. So I'd love for Kawhi Leonard to get the vindication, especially, you know, with all the crap he got from the Spurs. So I wouldn't mind seeing them win because there's some players on that team that I would like to see get a championship.
Right. I can understand that. On that aspect, I can understand it from a Raptors player perspective because those are some likable players on that team. That definitely is. If there's anything else to add, I mean, you know, if this was to go six games, who wins Thursday? Who wins? Who takes the first game? I mean, who sets the tone? Because they have the percentages. Whoever wins game one wins like 80% of the series. So Golden State wins game one, and if they lose, they have a 20% chance to win the series. How do you look at it?
I think Toronto wins tonight. I think Golden State wins the series. I think every game is going to be less than 10 points. This is going to be the hardest one for them to win. And I think at some point they're going to have to be saved in a game by Kevin Durant. But I think Toronto wins tonight, and then it's off. And then it's Katie bar the door because this is going to be the hardest one for them to win. And I think they need to lose tonight just to show them how tough it's going to be.
Now, I don't want to get into this the legacy point or whatever. If the Golden State Warriors win and MVPs, if people like to count, make you know cases and whatnot as far as Finals MVP. Because I think when they won it the first time, Iguodala got the MVP, and then the next time they won it, I can't remember who won it, who got the MVP after that. Well, Kevin Durant got in the last two, I believe.
Yeah.
Right? So does this – I mean, I don't know if it – see, I don't – see, here's the thing. I don't think Steph Curry is one of those players where I need to get accolades. I need to get MVPs to validate my career. I think he – like, he's got the two regular season MVPs. I mean, this if they were to win the series, I mean, this is kind of for him for the take-in for, on a personal level. But – I don't see, you know, that's what makes that team unique because a lot of players, they play that ego role. Like, man, I deserve the MVP. I'm the captain. I allow these guys to come to the team, so on and so forth. I don't see that with Steph, man. I mean, if Clay could probably get it. You know, if he has lights out shooting or Eagle Dollar, it could be any one of those guys. And that's okay for Golden State because it's all about Larry O'Brien trophies. Coaching matchup, you have Kerr over Nick Nurse, or is this something Nick Nurse is underrated about that a lot of people are not familiar with? What about it that he may bring to the table coaching-wise?
Well, he's a really good coach. I don't think he's got enough credit for melding the personalities that they got brought in. I mean, listen, Marc Gasol got brought in there late in the year, and he was able to get him to fit into that. The adjustments he made in every series, the adjustments he made in Philly, adjustments he made against Milwaukee. I'm interested to see what he does because Kerr, in many ways, honestly, to me, hasn't really coached against a coach that was a really good coach.
Okay.
I mean, you know, you had what, Blatt and you had Tyronn Lue. You know what, I'm not impressed by either one of those guys, to be quite honest with you. I'm not impressed.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think this is the first coach that Kerr is going against in the finals. Anyway, I'm talking about just in the finals. I ain't talking about the rest of the playoffs. But in the finals, this is the first coach I think that's on his level. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens.
I forgot to ask, Chandler, there's one other aspect that we didn't even bring up, and it's more of a pop culture reference. Another reason why I can't root for Toronto. There is no way. We have to shut Drake up. We got to shut Drake up. I mean, he's been going a little too crazy on the sidelines, massaging Nick Nurse. He's giving players. He's Magic Johnson. He's basically Magic Johnson as far as Magic Johnson wanted to be the Lakers ambassador, but instead he accepted the role as the president. Magic Johnson really wanted to be what Drake is doing. That's exactly what happened in L.A. We don't want to get into all that. If they could do it all over again, he'll tell Jenny Butt, say, hey, man, you know what? I just want to do what Drake does. I just want to go around, support, you know, shout off the Lakers, you know, smile on the sidelines, high five players when they come off the court, have the cameras on me, and that's it. Drake has the perfect role as far as he gets paid by the team. TNT cameras or ESPN, ABC cameras are going to have all eyes on him. Free publicity and marketing. We have got to shut Drake up, man. The Warriors have got to shut up Drake. You know what I'm saying? That level has bothered a lot of fans.
I've lived through Spike Lee. It's nonsense. What Drake is doing is nothing compared to the nonsense Spike Lee did. Okay, Spike Lee got 7 points against us in less than 4 seconds. Okay? So yes. I have no problem with anything Drake has done because he didn't cost his team a game.
Yeah. Because last year, if you remember, in the Eastern Conference, was it the Eastern Conference Finals? Semifinals, when LeBron shut him up. He's done that several times. This is when he was a Cavalier. He had shut him up on the sideline. But this is, this is a different stage. I understand what you're saying about Spike Lee. The only difference mainly is because of that social media aspect. That's a whole different animal that's added to this because of how we watch the games, Twitter, Instagram. Spike Lee, that wasn't around, back in the mid-90s, just Pacers, the Heat, so on and so forth. Final thoughts for you, Chandler, man. I mean, this is a great, great breakdown from you for both sides, Golden State Warriors and the Raptors. Any final thoughts?
Well, I think it's going to be a really good series. I think that the narrative that, because LeBron's not in it, it makes it better, I think is false. I think we just have a better distribution of talent. Some teams have stepped their games up. I think had LeBron's team been in it, there still would have been a good playoff run and they would have made the finals, so it still would have been a great finals. But I just think we're seeing some players come of age now and finally get some respect that people didn't want to give them because the media was so focused on one guy. So now they've actually been forced to talk about other players. And that aspect, yes, is great, but I just love the fact that we have some teams that people are talking about and guys are getting recognized that may not have gotten recognized otherwise.
I totally agree, man. Same thing, man. I thought the top four teams in the East, depending on how the ball bounces and your coaching adjustments, any of those four teams had a chance to be in the finals. And out of the four teams, three of them came from the Atlantic Division, and it happens to be Toronto. And Toronto, without Dwayne Casey, without DeMar DeRozan, and LeBron James on the Cavs, they showed for one season with Kawhi Leonard that they were able to get over the hump. And you see a lot of other players get recognition, and I think that is good for the league, man. But Chandler, man, enjoy the game Thursday. We'll be back next Wednesday. We'll probably be at around game three for the NBA Finals by the time next week, because it's so spread out. Game one Thursday, game two on Sunday, so on and so forth. At night, Chandler7 on Twitter, iTunes Podcast, Republic Tuning, Stitcher Apps. We'll be back next Wednesday. We'll see where we are at in the series, and we'll discuss actual game action with Chandler and everybody else. Sangre Azul, Lee Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
bleep, bloop, 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 bleep, bloop.